The second perek is going to focus on when does the prohibition of me'ila begin and when does it end. And we're going to analyze this for various types of offerings in the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to start off talking about bird offerings, and then we're going to talk about animal offerings, and then we're going to talk about flower offerings, the Korban Mincha, and the like. And then we will end off in Mishnah Test talking about other items that are simply burnt on the Mizbeach. And what we'll see throughout, at least up till Mishnah Ches, is that each of the Mishnayos is very similar. They are divided up in three different time periods. And the first time period is when the item, the bird, the animal, is consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash. Somebody says, this is now going to be my korban. At that point is when the prohibition of mi'ila kicks in. If somebody benefits personally from that bird or that animal, that will violate the prohibition of mi'ila. The second time period is when there is a malika that is done on the bird. Malika is similar to shchita, done on an animal, but the malika is done at the back of the neck with the thumbnail of the kohen. So that is the malika, the shchita. At that point, this is not a me'ila issue. It doesn't relate to me'ila, but that raises the level of kedusha of the item. We'll apply it also to the korban mincha. But that raises the level of the item, so it becomes subject, susceptible to becoming tameh and the like. So that's going to be time period number two. And time period number three is when a certain act is done. For example, when it comes to the bird offerings and to the animal offerings, when the hazah, when the sprinkling of the blood is done, that will cause there to be another set of halachas that are implicated at that point. And one of them is that the me'ila will go away. Not across the board, as we'll see, but the me'ila at that point will go away. Now, what's going to be important at this third stage is, this is an act is done that permits something else. It's called a matir. And we'll see the first example is going to be the chatasof in the first Mishnah. When you do the hazah, which is the sprinkling of the blood, it's like the zrika for an animal korban. At that point, when it comes to the chatasof, that permits the kohanim to eat the meat of that chatasof. So the matir is the hazah, the sprinkling of the blood, and what is permitted is the meat itself. And it's at that point that the problem, the issue of mi'ila goes away, because when you do the zrika, once it's matir, it permits the eating of the meat. The meat is now permitted to be eaten. There's going to be no more mi'ila on that meat if somebody personally benefits from it. Okay, we'll start with Mishnah Aleph, and this will hopefully become clearer. Stage number one in Mishnah Aleph, chatasof, talking about a chatasof, a burnt offering as a chatas, mo'alim ba mushahuktisha. The me'ila prohibition kicks in when it is sanctified. Stage number two, nimlika, when the malika is done, that raises up the level of kedusha of the carcass of the bird. Huchshra, it now becomes subject to lihipasal, to become invalidated, to become pasal. Bitful yom, if somebody is a tful yom, somebody who is tameh, went to mikvah, has to wait until nighttime to become fully pure. And that tful yom, meanwhile, before sunset, touches that carcass of that animal, of the bird, that becomes invalidated. Or mechusar kippurim is a zava or zava, that it's not enough to go to mikvah and have hair of shemes, have to wait till the next day to bring the korban, so they haven't brought the korban yet, and they touch the bird after the malika, again, it's going to invalidate it. Uvelina, if you did the malika, there's an obligation that you have to complete the process of bringing that korban that very day before sunset. But if you don't do the hazah, that's the sprinkling of the blood before sunset, the animal, the bird, becomes invalidated because it's lina, it took too long, it is now nighttime. That is stage number two. That doesn't relate to me'ila, but stage number three does. Huza dama, this is the matir. If they do the hazah of the blood, that is the sprinkling of the blood, at that point, chayavin alea mishum pigul no servetame, the prohibition, and chayavin here and in all the Mishnahs, it means there's going to be an isser of kares for somebody who eats the meat. If that meat was pigul, what would be an example for that? If the kohen who did the malika had a thought that he's going to do something chutz lizmano, it's going to be eaten out of its proper time, that is a pigul, and accordingly, if somebody would eat that meat when somebody had the thought of a chutz lizmano, that is a pigul. That's chiyuv kares. No, sir. If somebody eats the meat out of the allotted time, or tamei, if somebody who is tamei, the individual is tamei, eats the meat, that would also be a chiyuv of kare. So that all kicks in after the hazah, after the sprinkling, because it matirs the meat, and accordingly, that's when these prohibitions kick in. Ve'ein b'me'ila, after the hazah, the sprinkling of the blood, because it permits the kohanim to eat the meat, there's no longer going to be a me'ila, because that korban is no longer exclusively dedicated to Hashem. Kohanim are permitted to eat from it. Mishnah Beis. We're going to go quicker now because it's all going to sound very similar with minor differences. Stage number one, when it comes to Ne'olasov, difference between Ne'olasov and the Chatasov from the prior Mishnah is Ne'olasov is fully burnt on the Mizbeach. No meat is eaten by the Korbanos. Mo'alim ba'mishu huktasha. Stage number one is the Me'ila is whence it's consecrated. Stage number two, Nimlaka, after the Malika, Huchshali Pasal B'tful Yom of a Mechusar Kippurim of Alina, as we explained in the prior Mishnah, that's when it's on a higher level after the Malika, then accordingly it's subject to Tuma from a Tful Yom who touches it, a Mechusar Kippurim who touches it, or Lina, if you don't do the sprinkling of the blood, by nighttime that will also invalidate it. And stage number three, Mitzah Damai, whence the squeezing of the blood is done. Olasov is a little bit different from the Chatasov. Chatasov has three stages in its preparation, the Malika, Hazah, which is the sprinkling, and the Mitzui, which is squeezing of the blood onto the Mizbeach, that's directly onto the Mizbeach. When it comes to the Olasov in our Mishnah, there are only two stages, that's the Malika and the Mitzui. Accordingly, when you get to the Mitzui, this is stage number three, Mitzah Dama, you squeeze the blood out, that is the matir on this bird. Now, you're not matiring to eat the meat because there's no meat eaten. It's an ola, which is fully burned, but it is matir to burn the rest of the korban, to burn that bird on the Mizbeach, so that is the matir. At that point, Chayavim Alea Mishum Pigol Noser V'tameh, those same prohibitions we talked about before, that's when they kick in. Umoalin ba, there is a me'ila, as opposed to the chatzasa'ov, that there's no longer me'ila on the meat because it can be eaten by the kohanim. Here the me'ila continues because it's an ola. It's not going to be eaten by people. It's going to be burnt on the mizbeach. So the me'ila continues. It's still dedicated to Hashem. And that me'ila will only go away ad sheteitzei lebeis hadashen. That is going to be much later. First there is the bird is going to be burnt. And then there's going to be the trumas hadashen, taking some of the ash off of the mizbeach. But that ash is not yet being taken out of the base of Mikdash. It's only at the Hotzah Sadeshin, when that ash is taken out of the base of Mikdash and put in the base Hadashin where they stored the ashes, that is when the Me'ila will go away for the Olasov. Mishnah Gimel, Parim, Anisrafi, Musrim, Anisrafi. Now we're talking about animal offerings and its specific types of parim, hanisrafim, that are totally burnt outside of Yerushalayim. Those would be oxen that were offered, like a par, helem, davar, and the like. Seirim, hanisrafim, various seirim, two types of seirim, that would be burnt, goats that would be burnt outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So nothing was burnt here. The korban wasn't burnt on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. And this is going to sound the same as we've seen over and over again. Mo'alim b'mishu huktashu, stage number one is the Me'ila happens when those are sanctified. Step number two, nishchatu, once you do the shchita on these animals, huchshu li'pasal b'tvulyum of muchusar kibum of alina, that is when they become subject to invalidation, when they are touched by a tvulyum or chusar kippurim, and if the zrika is not done by nightfall, that will also invalidate the korban. And now, level number three, time period number three, huza daman, when the blood is sprinkled, that is going to be the matir, and accordingly, chayavim alei mishum pigol noser v'tameh, that's when pigol noser v'tameh kitken, umoalim ben, and these, the me'ila, will be similar to the ola that we saw in Mishnah Beis, moalim ben, beveis hadeshen, ach yutach habazer. Here it's that the whole animal, a little bit different, you have to wait till you bring it out to the base hadeshen, it's going to be me'ila at all that point. And it says, because these animals are burnt in the Beis HaDeshen, the Me'ila will only go away when the animal is turned into coal. It's been burnt to that level. Mishnah Dalet, we're talking about an Ola, similar to Mishnah Gimel, but that was the Ola Sa'of. Now we're talking about an Ola that's an animal, not an Of. Ha'ola, Mo'alim ba'mishu uktasha. Same statement over and over, the Korban Ola. Yeah, once it's consecrated, that is when Me'ila kicks in. Segment number two, time period number two, nishchata, once there's a shchit on the animal, raises up to the kedushas of the animal. Accordingly, huchshra lipasel betvuyim v'chusra kibudim elina, same as every Mishnah so far, nizrak dama, the zrik of the dam, that is what is matir, the burning of the animal on the mizbeach. At that point, chayavim alei mishum pigol, no servetame, The Ein Mo'alim Bo'ar. Right then, after Zrika, there's no longer going to be Mi'ila on the hide of the animal because that goes to the Kohanim. So it's no longer exclusively dedicated to Hashem. And accordingly, because people are permitted to benefit from it, the Mi'ila goes away. Even if it's a non-Kohen that benefits from it, that's not going to be the Isra of Mi'ila Avo Mo'alim B'Bashar Shiyetze LeBeis Hadash. And however, there will be a Mi'ila on the meat. The meat here is burnt on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, and then once the Deshen, once the ash is taken out to the base of Deshen outside of Yerushalayim, Mi'ilu on those that ash will go away. Mishnah Hey talks about the Chatas. So this is stage number one. Chatas ve'asam v'ziv chayshal me'tzibur. A Chatas offering, an Asham offering brought for other types of sins. Ziv chayshal me'tzibur, two lambs that are brought together with the Shtei Alechem and Shvues. Mo'alin behem yishukdashu. Same as we've seen over and over. The Mi'ila kicks in when they are consecrated. Stage number two. Nishchatu at the Shchitas phase. Hukshru lipasa betfuyom uvumachusar kipum avelina, exactly as we've seen in every Mishnah. Stage number three, nizrak daman, the zrik of the dam, is the matir, for example, to eat the meat of the animals, that matirs it, chayavim aleim, ishum pigul nosar v'tame, that's when pigul nosar v'tame kick in, that would be a chiyuv kares, ein mo'alim babasa, at the time of the zrika, there's no longer going to be a mi'ila on the meat, because the zrika permits, it's the matir, for the Kohanim to eat the meat, avo mo'alin be'emurin machiyetsu lebeis hadash. And however, there is to continue to be me'ila on emurin. The emurin have to be burnt on the mizbeach, so no one is permitted to benefit. Accordingly, me'ila continues until they are brought out, the ash is brought out to the Beis Hadesh and outside of Yerushalayim. Mishnah Vav, Shtei Halechem, these are the two loaves that are brought together with the Shnei Kivsi Atzer, the two lambs, it's brought on Shavuos, all of these, so it's two loaves and also two lambs, they are intricately connected. And the Zrika, interestingly, the Zrika here, as we'll see, is going to be the matir to the eating of the meat, as we just saw, so that will permit the eating of the meat of the Korbanos to the Kohanim, and it will also permit the eating of the loaves, the Shtei Alechem. So the Zrika of the animal permits the eating of the meat of the animal, but also the eating of the Shtei Halechem. So when we talk about Pigul, for example, if there's the Pigul on the Zrika, or earlier on the animals, that will invalidate not only the meat. If somebody, if it's a zrika, if it's a psula pigul, for example, somebody has in mind when he does the zrika or earlier that he's going to eat the meat or eat the loaves out of the proper time, that will cause there to be a pigul. If somebody would eat the shtei alechem at that point, that would be a chiyuv of kare. So now Mishnah Vav says as follows: it's going to start out the same as in the two phases, as we've seen over and over. Phase two is a little different, actually. Now we're talking Shtei Alechem. And by the way, we have now gone from bird offerings to animal offerings, and now we are talking about other types of offerings. So Shtei Alechem, Mo'alim Bahem, Mishu Hukdashu. Stage number one is the Shtei Alechem. As soon as somebody donates, as soon as somebody says, it would be the Kohanim, say, there is, I am consecrating, this flower is being consecrated, then Mi'ila will kick in for the Shtei Alechem. Stage number two, Karmu Betanur, as they are baking those loaves, as soon as it develops a crust, those loaves, that's like the Shechita of an animal. Hukshru li pasel betfuyam uvumachusor kipurim. That is one that is susceptible for tuma if a tfuyam uvumachusor kipurim would touch it. Now, there's not going to be a problem of lina. Throughout here, we've talked about lina. If you don't do the next act by sunset here, the Shtei Halechem is, by definition, baked before Yontif. You're not allowed to bake it on the Yontif of Shavuos, and it's only used on the day of Shavuos. So lina is not going to invalidate it going overnight, because it is going to go overnight, because it's baked the day before. However, what Karmu Batan, or the sage number two, when it develops a crust, what that does is V'lishchot aleim et hazavach. That permits you now to shecht the two lambs for Shavuos. So that does have that effect as well. And then stage number three, again, this is the matir stage, nizrak damal shakvasim, if they do the zrika, when they do the zrika on the two lambs, that is the matir. As we said, it matirs the kohanim to eat the meat. It also matirs the eating of the shtei alechem, the breads, chayavim alem ishum pikol nosar v'tame. That is when kicks in those other isurim that we saw over and over. The ein behem ila, and at that point, because the zrika is the matir to the eating of the meat and to eating of the shtei alechem, there's no longer going to be a mi'ila if somebody personally benefits from them. Mishnah Zayin is going to be somewhat similar. We're now talking stage number one of the lechem hapanim, which is brought every Shabbos. 12 loaves, the new ones were put in, the old ones were taken off that sat there since last Shabbos. And when you take out the old ones, you also have the lavona that goes together. And the process was that you would makdir, burn the lavona on the mizbeach, and that would permit, the burning of the lavona is the matir permitting the kohanim to eat the lechem hapanim. So Mishnah Zayin says as follows, lecha babanim, mo'alim b'mishuhukdash, as soon as it's consecrated, talking about the flour, when the flour that was used to bake the lechem hapanim was consecrated, that is when there's a me'ilah. Stage number two, as we saw in the prior Mishnah about the shtei lechem, karam batanur, as soon as when they're baking the lechem hapanim, it develops a crust, that is chuchsha lipasal b'tfuyam v'mechusar kipurim. That is when it's going to be susceptible to becoming tame by the tfulia mechusar kipurim uli yisadar al gabe ha-shulchan, and that is when the bread can be put on the shulchan on Shabbos. It's actually baked before Shabbos. Again, we don't have a psul of lina here because by definition the lechem upon him is not baked on the same day that it's used. It's baked on Erev Shabbos, assuming that it's not, there's no yantav on Erev Shabbos. So it would be baked on Erev Shabbos and then used on Shabbos itself. So lina would not be a psul here. And then we go to level stage number three, karvu habazichim. This is the bazichim on the Shabbos that you take out the old and you burn the bazichim, which is the spoonfuls of lavona. It's burnt on the mizbeach. That is the matir to the eating of the lechem apanim by the kohanim, chayavim alav, mishum pigol noser v'tami. That is when those prohibitions kick in. Ve'en be'em mi'il, and again, because the burning of the lavona is the matir that permits the eating of the lechem apanim to the kohanim, there's no longer going to be a mi'ilah. Mishnah Ches talks about ha-minachos. Again, three stages, korban mincha, an offering of flour, HaMenachas Mo'alim B'Mishuhukdashu, as soon as it is consecrated to the base of Mikdash, that is when Me'ilah is going to kick in. Stage number two, Kachshu B'Kli, as soon as they put it into Kli Shares, that is going to raise the level of Kedush, as we've seen over and over again. Hukshru, the Apostle B'Tfuyam B'Muchusar Kibulim Elina, all of those kicking, all those prohibitions. And stage number three, Karav HaKometz, the way that the Korban Mincha worked is that you put all the flour into a Kli Shares that sanctifies it, as we saw in stage number two, Kachshu B'Kli. And thereafterward, the Kohen would take the Kometz off. He would take the Kometz. So Karav HaKometz. Kometz is the handful of flour that the Kohen would take off. That's just like a Shchit on an animal or a Malika on a bird. That's Karav HaKometz. As soon as they put that Kometz, that amount in the hand, it was put into another Kli Shares, the second Kli Shares, and it's put onto the Mizbeach, so it's burning it onto the Mizbeach. Chayavim Alav Mishum Pigol Noser V'Tamei, that's when Pigol Noser and Tamei would kick in, and it's the bringing of that Kometz that would be the Matir of the Shirayim, the leftover flour that was from the Korban Mincha. Accordingly, because we have the Matir of the Kometz, Vein Mo'alim B'Shirayim, there is going to be no longer a Mi'il on the Shirayim. That permits the Kometz burning it, or to actually taking it off. That is what is going to permit the eating of the Shirayim. And accordingly, there is going to be no longer any me'ilah, val mo'alim, but kometz, achi is to the base of dashen. But the kometz itself, so that's the amount that's burnt on the mizbeach, that's the item that's burnt on the mizbeach, there is going to be me'ilah on that, because it's not to be eaten by anyone, it's brought on the mizbeach, it's burnt on the mizbeach, so until the desh and the ash from it is brought out to the base of desh and outside of Yerushalayim, there is going to be a me'ilah on it. Mishnah Tess is going to be a fairly complicated Mishnah, and we're talking about items now that are only burnt on the Mizbeach. There's no eating of them or anything like that, and also, this is critical, there's no matir. We've been talking about, at least in stage 3 throughout this parak, that there's a matir. For example, there is the Zrikas Hadam. That matir is something else, and because you have something that matir is something else, that other thing that's matir, for example, meat, if it's meat, then the mi'ilah is going to go away on that meat. We are talking about items here that are fully burnt on the mizbeach that don't have a matir that come before them. And what we're going to see is because we have no matir, that stage number three that was so critical in all the Mishnayos, that when you bring the matir, permit something else, etc., that's not going to apply to all these items. We're going to collapse stages 2 and 3 together. And there's going to be no stage 3. It's all going to be in stage number 2, as we will see shortly. So Mishnah Tess is HaKometz. This is the amount that was taken up by the Kohen from the Korban Mincha in his hand, the handful that was burnt on the Mizbeach, v'halavona, this was brought, l'lavona with some Korban Minchas, v'haketoris, this is the daily incense offering, brought two times a day on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner altar, u'minchas Kohanim, this is a Korban Minchas brought by the Kohanim, there was not a kometz taken off, with only the kometz being burnt, the entire Korban Mincha, when it's brought by a Kohen, is burnt, u'minchas Kohen Mashiach, this is the daily offering of the Korban Mincha brought, part in the morning, half in the morning, half in the afternoon, brought the Kohen Gadol, that was entirely burnt as well, u'minchas Nesachim is also a Korban Mincha that's brought with two types of korbanos, with a ola or shlamim, so that was fully burnt as well. So all of these, as we've seen, this is stage number one, just like all the other mishnayos, it's not different yet. Noalim behem mishuhuktishu, as soon as they're consecrated, there is a mi'ila. Kachu b'kli, so this is stage number two, but again, we're going to collapse stage three into stage two. So everything is going to happen at this, anything that can happen is going to happen at this stage, even if what other mishnayos had happened at stage three, it's going to happen at stage two. So as soon as you put all of those items into the kli, and the exclusion here is the kometz. The kometz was put earlier, before the kometz was taken off. The korban mincha was put into a kli shari, so it was sanctified then, even though the kometz was taken off later on and put into a second kli shari. So we're talking about when it's put into the first kli shari. All these items, when they were put into kli shari, kachu b'kli, huchshru, and this is going to sound, this is going to be stage number two, huchshru, li pasa b'tvulyom u'mechusar b'kir melina. That's stage two. But what's different now is, even without a matir, because there are no matirs here. All the other mishnayos had a matir in stage three, and accordingly we had a stage three. Here we don't have a matir. All these items move forward without having a matir before them. Accordingly, all of the issues that happen at stage three are happening right now, even without that matir. V'chayavin, as soon as you put it into the klei sharis, v'chayavim alei mishum nosar u'mishum tame, the prohibition of nosar, if it is eaten out of its proper time, it's eaten after the time that it should have been burnt, or mishum tame, if it's tame person eats it, that is all going to kick in at the time that it's put into the kli, stage number two. However, as we'll see shortly why, pigul ein bam, there's not going to be a pigul on any of these items. So even if somebody brought the komets, lavona, with improper thoughts, chutz lizmano, typically we said throughout this barak that if somebody then and when ate the item, that's a chiyuv kares because of pigul. Here, the pigul prohibition doesn't exist. Why is that? We'll say it right now. And as we'll see in the balance of the Mishnah, because the prohibition of pigul only applies when the item that is eating is matir by something else. For example, you had the zrika that's matir meat, and if you had an improper thought of chutz lizmano when you were doing any stage, when you did the shechita, when you did the zrika, etc., and somebody then, yeah, the chutz lizmano, this is a pigul item, somebody eats it, that's a chiyuv kares. But here, because there's no matir that can cause the pigul, there is not going to be a prohibition, a kares, on pigul. Pigul just doesn't apply on the items listed in Mishnah Test because they don't have a matir that becomes before them. And we'll explain that right now. Zakal, this is a general principle, and this applied from Mishnah Aleph to Mishnah Ches, but not to this Mishnah. Kol sheyeshul lo matir, in anything, as we saw in stages three, then anything that has a matir, for example, a zrika is matir, the meat, the zrika is matir, this and that. Ein chayavin ala mishum pigul noser v'tami, there's not going to be chiyuv, and pigul noser v'tami ad shigruvo matirov, only until once you bring the matir. It's when you bring the matir, when you do the drika, for example, that is when the prohibition of pigul is going to kick in. If there is a pigul situation that somebody had a chutz lizmano thought and somebody went and eats it after the drika, there is a problem. There's an isra pigul and chayev kares. That applies in Mishnah Aleph through Mishnah Ches, where in stage number three, there is a matir. However, v'chol shein lo matir, like in this Mishnah, that there's not something that comes as a matir first, there's no matir on any of the items we listed in our Mishnah, kaven shekadesh b'kli, because you put it into the kli, which is stage number two, there is no stage number three, because there's no matir. As soon as you put it into the kli, chayavim ala mishum nosar umishum tame, that's when nosar and tame is going to kick in, not in stage number three, but stage number two. However, pigul embo, there's not going to be a problem in isra pigul, because pigul only applies when you have a matir in advance, but when there's no matir, there is no pigul.